today as we come to the table.
Jew or not, Gentile or whatever, you have to go to Jesus or you will not enter the kingdom of God. There is no other option. It's not Muhammad. It's not Krishna. It's not the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witness, which they think is a Michael the Archangel. It's not the God, the Jesus of Mormons, which he is one God of many. No, it has to be the God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible. You've got to have the right ones. You know, there's a lot of Jesuses out there, guys. Everybody's got a Jesus. You're going to find that as you begin to share your faith. Everybody's got a Jesus. Here's the question. Is it the real one?
People choose to believe in various gods, believing that they'll provide the solution to all their problems. Addictions can sometimes take control of your life, and you willingly choose to give in to your vulnerabilities. But are you sure who you should serve? In the message today, Pastor Mark teaches that Jesus is the only way to eternal life in heaven. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. When you choose to believe in Him and make Him your priority, you can be confident that you'll overcome any other weaknesses in your life. The God of the Bible is the only God you should worship, since Jesus was the only one who died on the cross for your sins. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 5, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
So he says to them here, look, hey, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this the way the Father does. Only what the Father asked me to do is all that I'm going to do. And he says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Now look at this. This is interesting because you probably read this the way I did the first time I did before I got deeper into the words here. Notice he says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he does. When I read that, immediately thought the word there would be the word agape. Now, there are different words in the Greek language for love. We only have one word in English for love. It's love. That's it. But there's a lot of different nuances to love, is there not? The Greek breaks that out. And that's one of the reasons God used the Greek language to write the New Testament. It gives us more nuance. It gives us more details. There's the phileo love, which means brotherly love. I love you like a brother or a friend. There's the agape love, which means I love you more than myself. I'd lay my life down for you. There's the eros love, which is the physical love. There's all these different loves it talks about. And when God shows his love, we tend to always think of it in the agape, that is, I'm laying my life down for you, because that is the love God has for us. And the love that the Father had for the Son. But it's interesting right here, and really caught me off guard doing the word studies. This is the word phileo. Now what that means is, Jesus said, the Father loves me like a friend. That's interesting. Why would Jesus say the Father loves me like a friend? Why not say the Father loves me like himself? Because we are one and we, you know, whatever and all this. No, because of what he says right after that. The Father loves the Son like a friend and shows him all things that he himself does. Because when you're good friends and best friends with someone, you reveal your most intimate secrets with them. Why is this exciting to me? And I think this is the point the Lord and the Holy Spirit's making here. Jesus told his followers, he said, you are no longer just servants of mine. I now call you what? Friends. You're friends. What that means is, I'm going to reveal things to you that other people aren't going to see. I'm going to show you things they don't know. You're going to be a privileged character on the earth. Is that cool or what? You look around the world, they don't get it. How come they don't understand? Why can't they clearly see the things that you see as a Christian? How come their eyes aren't open like your eyes are open? Because God has made you his friend, and you have made yourself his friend, and he's now showing you things that the world can't know. Jesus prayed this, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. Now, he didn't say it that way, but that was his heart. Those who think they know everything, in other words, and you've revealed them to babes. I love that. It's like, you know what? All these people who think they're so smart and they think they've got everything figured out, be it the Bible or everything else in the world, he says, they don't have a clue. They're limited by an earthly mind. And by the way, the smartest person on this earth is starting with a fallen brain. Let's all settle that for a moment. The Bible says we've all fallen and our brains are fallen. Some brains are fallen more than others. My brain seems to continually fall to the point it's screaming now. But we started with a fallen brain, which means the smartest person on this planet is flawed at the very beginning. Their brain is flawed. It is fallen. It is imperfect. It is corrupted. And they're starting from that foundation and doing all their studies. And they think they're so smart. And we've figured this out. And we've got this. And the Lord goes, they know nothing. You're my friends. I will tell things to your fallen brain that they'll never be able to figure out. And you're going to see things they'll never understand. It is a sweet and privileged position you are in as a follower of Christ. Don't take it for granted. And so I love this because, again, I think that's what he's pointing out. Friends reveal secrets. And then he goes on to say, and you know what? I'll show things that'll make you marvel. And again, you're not going to have any excuses. When you stand before me on that day, you're not going to say that I didn't know, I didn't recognize who Jesus was. He goes, no, I'm going to show you marvels and things that's going to blow your mind. And the people around you that you know, your family and friends, they've seen, if your life has transformed as much as mine has, they've seen a marvel. I mean, they can't believe, how did you go from being that to this? What happened to you? And they may not agree with it. They may not go along with it. They may not say, well, then I'm going to follow your God, but they can't deny it. And when they stand before the Lord on that day, he's going to say, did I not show you by the testimony of so-and-so, by how I changed them, by what I did, by all the people I sent to you? It's going to be intense. We're going to see in a moment, he gets to this whole point about everyone standing before him one day. Notice verse 21. He says, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to he whom he will. Again, blasphemy is what they'd be thinking. You just claim to be God. Because the Jews believed, and rightly so, only God can give life. Only God can. That's something God does. Only he can do it. And so in saying this, he's saying, I can do what God can do. God has given, even as God has life, I have life. And in a moment, he's going to go farther on this, and he speaks of life intrinsically. That is, it's not something the Father just gave me that I can use, although he does give it to him as while he's a man. When he's not a man and he's back in the spirit, it's life intrinsic. It's just who he is. He can just grant life because he's God. And so again, this would have been something that would have infuriated them and driven home the fact, again, of their oneness and the fact that he has the same ability as God and is indeed God as well in this, you know, as he shares this with them. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Look at this. You guys are judging me, Jesus would say. Do you realize that one day I'll judge everyone? You're judging me. And the Father in heaven has given me the authority for all judgment. Wow, this is so powerful. He's taking authority. He's standing in it. He's walking in it, regardless of whether they believe it or not. You guys have a big surprise coming. And you're going to be standing before me one day because all judgment has been committed to me. And so why would all judgment be committed to him? This is interesting to me, guys, because in a moment he's going to tell us, he's going to call himself, rather than the Son of God, which he calls himself in here, he uses another term in this passage that he uses from time to time. He calls himself the Son of Man. Not just God, but man. Why specifically in this passage will he later refer to himself as the Son of Man? Because it shows that he is uniquely qualified to judge man because he used to be a man. You know, people say, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm feeling. He does. He wasn't just spirit. He became a man. He knows what it feels like. He knows pain. He knows sickness. No doubt Jesus got sick. He think we got sick, why didn't just heal himself? I mean, that'd be a temptation, right? I don't feel good. I feel great, right? He wanted to experience what we experience. He no doubt wanted to know, what does a fever feel like? What is it like? You know, you're hurting. Something's not, you know, whatever the case. I know emotions. He knew sadness. He knew anger. He knew happiness. He knew joy. He knew sorrow. The Bible says he was a man acquainted with sorrow. So everything you're feeling and have felt and will feel, he knows it all. So he's uniquely qualified when you stand before him for him to say, I know exactly what you went through. I know exactly what you were feeling. I know exactly what you, when you gave in, I know why you gave in. I know everything. I've been a man. I understand. So this is something, again, where not only is he showing us that he's uniquely qualified to be the one that judges us when we stand before him one day, but he's letting them know, you know what? I'm going to be judging you guys. You're here judging me. All judgment has been committed to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Note this. He says, another reason all the has been committed to the Son is so that he'll be honored just like the Father. How many people tried to go to God today without the Father? I mean, without Jesus? The Jews, for one. I feel for the Jews. They try to go to the Father, and they try so hard. They're some of the most religious people in the world, but they're lost, and they can't get to heaven because he said, you have to come through me. Jesus said, no one goes to the Father except by me, and he said, God has committed all judgment to me so that you guys, the Jews, as well as everyone else, you're going to have to come to me if you want to be forgiven and get into heaven. I'm going to be your judge. And they were saying, we won't come to you. We reject you. He's like, you can choose to do that, but you're going to be eternally condemned. And the Father set it up this way because he gave me that position and gave me that authority. You've got to come through me. Again, it breaks my heart for the Jews today because they're some of the most religious people, but they're deceived. I've shared with you guys before. I remember sharing with the Jewish lady one time and sharing, and you could see God working in her heart. God was working in her heart, and she was like just struggling so much because they've been taught their whole life that Jesus is not the Messiah. And she finally just said, I really want to give my life to God, but can I just do it without Jesus? I said, no. Because no man can go to the Father except through him. Jew or not, Gentile or whatever, you have to go to Jesus or you will not enter the kingdom of God. There is no other option. It's not Muhammad. It's not Krishna. It's not the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witness, which they think is a Michael the Archangel. It's not the God, the Jesus of Mormons, which he is one God of many. No, it has to be the God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible. You've got to have the right ones. You know, there's a lot of Jesuses out there, guys. Everybody's got a Jesus. You're going to find that as you begin to share your faith. Everybody's got a Jesus. Here's the question. Is it the real one? Because you can be stumped by that. You start sharing your faith. I believe in Jesus. Really? Which one? Well, what do you mean? There's only one. Exactly. But tell me what yours is like. Well, mine lets everyone into heaven. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. You've got a different one. And then you have to go to the Word and show them. Here's what the Jesus of the Bible said. Jesus says, we'll see this later in John, those who believe in me, note this, big letters, as the Scripture has said, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water. He didn't say those who believe in me as their opinion is. Well, I think God's this way. I think Jesus is that way. It doesn't matter what we think. It only matters what the truth is, and we have to stand before him one day and give account. He's going to tell us that in a moment. And if I'd read on, you'd find that. Anyway, they should honor the Father just as you do the Son. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Powerful. Again, you can't, unless you're honoring the Son, you cannot honor the Father. And so the two are equal. They're one. They're both together. And again, this is why the Jews and others who don't come to Jesus are in big trouble. And he goes on and says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. You believe in me and my words, you'll live forever, Jesus is saying. Again, showing he's God, because only God could do that. And he shall not come into judgment, but has passed. Notice past tense. Has passed from death into life. The moment you give your life to the Lord, you're already with Jesus. Now, we're all eternal already. Did you know that everyone in here is already eternal? Everyone ever born is already eternal. The Bible says that. A soul doesn't stop. Once a soul is born, it lives eternally, saved or not. The question is, where does that soul spend eternity? In the kingdom of God or in the eternal lake of fire? And that's the two options Jesus is about to give them. And this is about to get even more heated when you think it couldn't and more convicting. Look at verse 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Jesus is saying, everyone that has ever existed will hear my voice in judgment one day. Everyone, saved or not saved, everyone will stand before Jesus. Grasp that for a moment. Now, as a believer, you're going to stand before Jesus and you're going to give an account for your life with him. You're not going to be judged by sin that you've done or whatever, because you're forgiven. But you're going to be judged on how you served him, what you did with your life for him, how faithful you were. And based on that, you'll get reward and that position in heaven like we talked about. That's how it's going to all meet out in the long run. But for the unbeliever, they're going to stand before the Lord and give an account for their life. You know, a lot of people think, again, talking bad about the Lord or whatever, this kind of thing. One day, can you imagine? This hit me harder this week than ever. And that is, I think about the people that talk bad about the Lord. What's it going to be like when they stand before him one day? And there he is, and they're looking at him face to face. What a daunting moment that's going to be. Again, if you don't know him, what a fearful moment that's going to be. But he says they're going to do that one day, and that'll be judgment day. But notice he also says in verse 25, and it now is. That is, people that die right now, they hear the voice of the Lord. When we die, we're going to hear the voice of the Lord. He's going to say, enter into the joy of the Lord. So, you know, there's that right now. And yet for the unbeliever, they're going to hear it on judgment day, and they're going to stand before the Lord in judgment. Now, again, physically and spiritually, they hear his voice, is what he's saying here. And notice verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Again, this intrinsic life that God put inside of himself and is also inside of Jesus. And God granted it while Jesus was a man, although he has it intrinsically eternally as well. And he has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Now, there's that phrase again, the Son of Man, that unique position he has to be able to judge man because of who he is, because he knows what man has been through. He's able to do that. And so he says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all, and I have that underlined, all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Wow. The Lord lays it out right here. He says, one day everyone's going to stand before me. A group of them are going to hear, enter into the joy of the Lord, you're saved forever, and they're going to have everlasting joy in life, and all their sins are forgiven. And another group is going to hear me say, depart from me, I never knew you, and they're going to go into the eternal lake of fire. Eternal condemnation. I've heard people say, well, you know, maybe if God does judge, it's not forever. You know, it'll one day end. It's just annihilation, they call it. Annihilation theology, where you just die and everything's over. That's not what the Bible teaches. And that's not what Jesus taught. And that's why this is so serious, guys. And we've got to pay attention to this, especially if you're here today and you don't know the Lord. It never ends. Now, I'm not trying to use scare tactics. I'm trying to speak facts to you with passion because we're talking about eternity. This is a real deal here. And Jesus, we're all going to stand before him one-on-one, and depending on what we've done with him, whether we believed in his sacrifice on the cross or not, is going to depend on where we spend the rest of eternity. And there are no do-overs. Once we die, there's no second chances. We don't get to go, okay, now I see it. I've died, and now, okay, so I'm going to really straighten up my spirit. No, it's too late. It's done. And so this decision has to be made before we die. It has to be made before that moment when it happens. And again, I've seen people over the years as a pastor, you know, it's amazing, go into a surgery and think they're going to be fine, and they don't come out of it. I'm talking strong young people. And this is a shocking thing, but this happens, and we have to be ready and make sure that we're ready, and we have to realize that what the Lord is saying is, in this verse, is we better make sure we know where we're standing and where we're going to be. Now, how will the judgment work? Here's how the judgment works. The Bible says there's a temporary holding tank for everybody who doesn't know the Lord. They're going to be held there until judgment day. Now, hopefully you've never experienced this, but if you have, you know that when you get arrested, they put you in this holding tank until you either get bailed out or stand before the judge. Same thing is true in the Bible. It talks about it in Luke chapter 16, as well as other places. And so the unbeliever, when they die today or whenever they die after, they go immediately to this holding tank that keeps them there, and they will be in that holding tank until the judgment day. Now, when the believer dies, we go straight to be with the Lord. The Bible says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we go straight to be with him. There is no holding tank. It's right into heaven, and we begin our eternity with the Lord. But for the unbeliever, they're held there. Now, how long are they held there? That depends on when the Lord comes back. Because the Bible says this, the Lord's going to take us up in the rapture. Okay, we'll go up in the rapture. We'll have the wedding supper of the Lamb. 7 years or so, it appears from Scripture, with the wedding supper of the Lamb. Then we'll all come back in the second coming. And we'll come with the Lord. He will establish his throne here on the earth. We will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years on this earth. Now, the earth will be restored. It'll be new and fresh and restored. It'll be like it was in the Garden of Eden, not like the fallen earth we see today. It's going to be restored. We'll rule and reign with him 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, he's going to destroy this earth and this universe. Why? Why would he do that? Because this earth and universe has now been tainted by sin. This earth with mankind's sin, the universe by the demonic realm flying around it with their sin. So he'll wipe everything out, and he's going to create something that's never had sin in it at all. A new heaven, a new earth, brand new everything, probably stars and all. It doesn't give us all the details, but it's going to just be fresh and new. No sin has ever entered it. No sin will ever enter it. We will live there forever with the Lord. When he does that, sometime either at the same moment, right before or whenever, he's going to call everyone that's in Hades, this holding tank, from all ages, all the way back, all the way until that time, for the 1,000 years yet to come and everything up till the Lord comes back. Everybody will stand before him. We will already be saved. We will have our new bodies. We'll be there with the Lord, probably watching this happen. The Bible doesn't give details about that, but I see no reason why we wouldn't be, because we're his friends. And he shows his friends everything. And we're going to see all these people from all the ages. Hitler, again, unless he got saved before, I don't know that. I doubt it. But we don't know someone's last seconds, do we? But all these people, these famous killers, these famous murderers, these famous whatever, they're all going to be standing there. We're going to watch each one of them get judged by Jesus. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're going to be cast into what is called by Jesus a lake of fire. That's not intended for man. That was intended for the devil and his angels, the Bible says. And the Bible says that God desires that none perish and that none go there, which means if you don't know Jesus, you're going to be in that grouping one day. You're going to spend all that time in Hades for 1,000 years. Then you're going to be called up and you're going to stand before the Lord only to hear you're condemned. You don't have to do that. You can stop that right now. You hold the keys to your destiny. All you have to do is confess your sin to God, ask him to forgive you, repent of your sin, and the Bible says you'll go straight to heaven when you die. Is that not good news? This is why the gospel is called good news. It is great news. You're not condemned. And so that is the future. Notice Jesus ends by saying, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. But I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Again, driving home this oneness, this unity, this working together with the Lord. But where does this leave us today? Guys, the question is obvious for us today, and that is when we stand before the Lord and hear him speak to us, which judgment will we be facing? Will it simply be a judgment for reward and our position in the kingdom? Or is it going to be for eternal condemnation? Are we going to hear the words, enter into the joy of the Lord, or depart from me, I never knew you? You're not going to scare me, Pastor. Your viewpoint doesn't matter to me. Maybe not. I agree with that. My viewpoint doesn't matter. Neither does my opinion. You're not going to be judged on my viewpoint or my opinion. But Jesus' viewpoint and opinion matters greatly. And he is God. And this is his word. It's never failed. It never will fail. And he's going to complete it till the very end. The question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with Jesus and the cross and him dying for your sins? What are you going to do about the fact he rose from the dead? If you believe that he did that and you believe that he rose for you and died for you, you're going to have eternal life. If you don't, you're going to have eternal condemnation. And this is where your choice comes in. Will it be Jesus and eternal life, or will it be separation forever? My heart is not scare tactics this morning, and I'm not going to try that. I'm just sharing with you the facts. But I will say this. The Bible says, save some with fear. And if this morning, seeing the reality of what Jesus said to these religious leaders that were lost and about to face his judgment one day and saying, you know what, you're going to stand before me one day. I'm going to pass judgment on you for all eternity. If that has put fear in your heart and made you realize the seriousness of your condition and where you are or where you are not with Jesus, praise the Lord for that.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of John. John was a disciple of Jesus during his 3 years of ministry. John became one of the most influential apostles following Jesus' death and resurrection. He experienced much during his lifetime, including witnessing miracles, running to an empty tomb, and being tortured for his faith. Wouldn't it be neat to meet John and hear his account of what happened? Thankfully, he wrote much of it down. But he even stated that there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That's how the end of the book of John concludes. What a thing to think about, that books could not contain all that could be known about Jesus and what he did here on earth. Thank goodness we have a small glimpse into what happened, and it can strengthen our faith day by day. If you have a question about what you heard today, you can give us a call at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. If you'd like to listen to this message again, you can easily download the Way Media app from our website, thewaymedia.net. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. And we hope you found today's message encouraging and insightful into the heart of Jesus. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the New Testament book of John here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.